Good morning. It's 8:19 on the ticket. Monday morning with the Musers, broadcasting from San Francisco for Super Bowl 60. We're on Radio Row at the Convention Center downtown. Out here with the entire ticket team, we had our team dinner last night, some good Italian food. Well, the food kept coming and coming, didn't it?
Man, that was good. It was really good. And it was approved by our very Italian program director. He knows where the good spots are.
Yes, we had
San Francisco.
Family-style meal. They kept bringing lasagna and pizza. We all had a great time together, telling lots of old ticket stories. The trip out here was great as well. And by the way, we have our first official guests coming up on the Morning Musers show. At 8:40, we're going to visit with the Skinlonen brothers. They are here making the circuit on Radio Row. They've got something else to promote this year, so we'll talk to Super Bowl veterans.
I told y'all that I read something. They were protesting the Super Bowl this year.
They are.
We'll find out
why.
That's why
they're coming by to talk about it.
That's coming up at 8:40. Yesterday, we flew out here. We were all on a roughly noon flight, got out here about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And at the airport, I had two brushes with sports greatness.
Hmm.
In the concourse by our gate, I see a team walking towards me, and they all had white warm-ups on.
Okay.
And it looked like it could be a college team. It was a women's team. And as they got closer, I thought, I think that might be a WNBA team. But I kind of thought they started flying private jets. Yeah.
Charters.
So why would they be? No, it must be a college basketball team. And then when they got really close to me, I could read on their warm-ups, it said Dallas Pulse. I thought, is that a random, like a G League women's basketball team? So then I pulled out my phone and I Googled Dallas Pulse. It is our professional women's volleyball team.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, let's go Pulse.
They are part, and I think I mentioned this a year or two ago when we found out we were getting a pro volleyball team. I think I had the note in scatter shooting because it did ring a bell. They are part of Major League Volleyball. That's
okay.
That's the professional volleyball circuit in America, and they were coming home from their unfortunate loss at the Indy Ignite the night before. They got shut out 3-0.
Are those good team names?
No.
Indy Ignite and Dallas Pulse.
Both terrible.
Okay,
Be the Phillies or something like that.
What do you think of the Omaha Supernovas?
That's good.
Grand Rapids Rise?
No. Stop it with all those names. You sound like a second-rate league when you do that.
Why do you say that?
Come up with something good. You know, that makes sense that we have professional volleyball because college volleyball is getting huge.
Yeah, I believe
it. It really is. I mean, we have really good teams in Texas. A&M and Texas are really good. I've spent some time watching some matches, and they're really exciting. They're well-attended. Nebraska set that record.
That's right.
They're always really good. They had the entire football stadium full watching them. That makes some sense.
One of their women, she must have been 6'6". I mean, they had some really tall women. I thought it was a WNBA team at first. They play their home games at the Comerica Center up in Frisco.
Okay.
The Stars Center.
Yeah. Let's challenge them to a match.
I think we could win.
I have a nasty overhand serve.
I'm telling you, you have no idea how good they are.
Well, I think I have a decent
idea. I don't think you do.
Yeah, I do.
They would crush us.
Yes,
we wouldn't win a point.
We could not get a point against a high school team.
No, no way.
A junior high team.
No way.
A select team, there's no way.
We'd all blow out our ACLs.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think I watched my niece's eighth grade volleyball team at the time, and I was blown away with there's no way that I could have ever, in any stage of my life, even been in that game.
Volleyball has taken a huge leap in this country, I'd say last 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
after running into the Dallas Pulse, I then boarded our flight. As we talked about in the O-Deck with Gordo in the 6 o'clock hour, Gordo and I and Donovan were all sitting in first class. George took an earlier flight, and he sat in first class, too, thanks to our sponsor, American Airlines, the official airline of the ticket for flying us out here. So we got that perk. That was great.
Awesome.
I sat on the right side of the plane. I don't know if you guys do this. Do you, when you're booking your seat, think about what you're going to be looking out the window at? because I always think, I look at the flight pattern, and I think if I'm on the right side, I think I'll be able to see the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon. So I sit on a side knowing what I'll see.
Yeah, I don't do that. I'll sit on a side. I usually will select and try to see what I will see, but then I just watch YouTube instead.
I was going
to
say, yeah, what's the best lighting for YouTube
is
probably what you think.
I had a spectacular view of the Grand Canyon. It was
what
unbelievable.
Is that?
We flew
the Grand
right
Canyon?
Over it. I saw the spot where Gordo almost pushed George in.
Is that the South Rim? Where were we?
Yeah, South Rim.
Yeah, so wrong.
Anyway, when I got on the plane,
I was doing it for you, Dad.
I was seat 2F in the window. There was someone 2D on the aisle, and I had to ask him to move for me, and he was very nice and sat back down. And I said hi, and he said hi, and that was about it. So I start reading my book, and we take off, still reading my book. Flight attendant comes by, and you know, if you're in first class, they know your name.
Champagne.
So she's talking to everybody. Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones, would you like this? Would you like this? She comes to our row, and she says, hello, Mr. Miller. Would you like anything to drink? No, just water, please. Okay, water. And hello, Mr. Singletary. Would you like anything to
what?
Drink?
What?
Wow.
You sat next to Mike Singletary?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Can you believe that?
Did you just the ass-whipping start right there for 3 hours of...
No.
Let's go back to
Baylor.
And he's
like, Craig, I really love you, man.
For those who don't know, Mike Singletary, Pro Football Hall of Famer, one of the top three middle linebackers in NFL history.
Absolutely.
Consistently first-team All-Pro, member of the 85 Bears Super Bowl team. And so all these thoughts start going through my mind immediately. God, what do I do here? Do I start talking to him?
Do you bring up the Super Bowl?
Do I bring up the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
So one of the first things that I thought of, and this either would have made him laugh or he would have punched me, I thought about saying, are you the guy on the Baker Brothers commercials?
Thanks, Mike Singletary.
Great service.
He probably would have laughed.
Or would he have? I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. You're still
running
a
risk.
It's been a long time. You're still intimidated by Mike Singletary.
Yes.
You got a whole flight to go. You don't want to mess it up.
It's a 4-hour flight.
Yeah.
3 hours and 50 minutes was the flight time that they gave us.
How's that long? Wow.
Plus taxiing and all that. So you're going to be on the plane for 4 hours. So I made the decision not to beat him down at all.
He probably appreciated that.
Yeah.
He probably didn't want to talk about the 85
right.
Bears or the 1980 Baylor Bears.
Right. And what am I going to say to him? Hey, you were really great. I remember watching you.
Yeah.
Congratulations
that's
on a great
man.
Career.
Thanks.
Remember that time you made that tackle?
And then I thought if I did introduce that, it's just going to make it awkward for the next 4 hours.
Yeah.
And he was very soft-spoken. Like the flight attendant had to bend down and get her ear right near his mouth to hear him. So he seemed more introverted, like he didn't want anybody to talk to him. And I'm sure he's nice.
He probably appreciated that.
So I decided I'm not going to say anything.
But it's been 40 years for him since he played. Maybe he appreciates talking about NFL films where he says, I like that kind of party. I like that kind of party. I always loved that.
Maybe that, too. Maybe I should have. Maybe that was my chance. But that's the most famous person that I've ever sat next to on a flight.
Wow, yeah.
Didn't you sit next to a supermodel once, though?
She was across the
still
aisle.
Mike Singletary.
Yeah, and what was her name?
She was one of the...
She was huge at the time, and I can't remember who it was. I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay.
But that wasn't... She was across the aisle from me. Mm-hmm. That was on a flight to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale. And I think she was making moves... On me.
On you.
Yes.
Stupid.
So anyway,
that's
next
amazing.
To Mike Singletary. We land, we get in the cab, we go to the hotel, we go to the media center, we get our credentials. We told the amazing facial recognition story in the O-Deck as well, how quickly it recognized all
fastest
of us.
Fastest one I've ever seen.
Except for Donovan, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And we got our credentials.
We filed a protest about that.
Had our team dinner last night. The other thing that really stuck out to me about our travel was this morning. We're up at 3 a.m. We're getting a cab at 3:15. We thought it might be tough to get an Uber, so we called a Waymo, the driverless cab. And the three of us have never ridden in a driverless cab before. but it pulls up. I had the app, and it says your ride is here. You go out there. You have to press unlock on the door to get it to open. So the three of us get in. You have to buckle in, and then you press start ride. So George is in the passenger seat up front. Gordo and I are in the back seat. You press start ride, and a voice comes on. Welcome. It is nice to have you aboard a Waymo. Your drive will take approximately 7 minutes. Please sit back and enjoy the ride. And then we all started having fun. Then George did a fake Waymo voice. I am about to drive you off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Is that okay?
Prepare for death.
You all have had a good life.
Man, if you could have showed us that 32 years ago.
Yeah.
Said you're going to be in a driverless cab, and that's the scene you're going to drive through. There's, many people on the street having a really tough time.
At 3 a.m., it took us right through the Tenderloin, which is the Skid Row neighborhood of San Francisco, and wow. That's the roughest neighborhood I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. The trash, the just garbage, and people just struggling, some yelling at each other. And
there's lots of talking to themselves out here going on.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we thought that maybe a rival radio station hacked our ride, and now you have reached your destination, like dropping us off at the worst possible corner in San Francisco.
Remember she said when you arrive at your destination, the doors will remain locked.
Yes.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
And then Gordo had the line, and detonation will occur in 2 minutes.
Fine. That's all right. It's been a good long ride.
George is ready to go.
We had so many funny what she might be saying automated lines. Just a very funny ride. But I will also say this.
Good driver, though.
Really good driver. Yep. Like, made all the turns perfectly, stayed in the lanes perfectly, avoided pedestrians perfectly. Avoided a car that kind of pulled over to the side perfectly.
Yeah, I thought we may be at the crosswalk for a while, but eventually they stopped crossing and they were able to drive through it. The time I rode one of those in Austin, I would say this driver was, I don't think this driver was aggressive, but it seemed to go faster.
Yeah.
This
and,
car?
Yeah, and I wonder if that's because they've been around here longer.
Maybe.
But, yeah, it was freaky the first 5 seconds, but after that you just kind of think, okay, they've got it.
You missed this, George. Gordo and I and Kat took a cab from the airport to the hotel yesterday. Gordo's in the front seat, and, of course, he's got to have the driver on his talk show. So he starts mining for bear traps, and man, did he get one!
I'm not mining for bear traps. I enjoy talking to people about their lives.
He's like, so where are you from?
Oh, God.
Yep. A lot of attitude.
And the driver says, Afghanistan. And he goes, and so Gordo immediately steps into like 3 bear traps. He said, oh, so did you grow up there? You have your childhood in Afghanistan? He goes, yes, but not much of childhood spent in bomb shelters. And I was raised during the war there. Gordo's like, oh, do you have brothers and sisters? 10, but 3 of them passed away. One was a pilot killed in the war. Another, he just
Gordon,
was pulling out all this horrible information from this guy.
I didn't know it was all going to be horrible. But
so, how are your parents doing?
They also lost their life in a bunker buster bomb. And
it was so sad.
Gordon. He didn't say bunker buster.
Well, no, he didn't. But yeah, his story was incredible. And he was a young guy, man.
Yeah.
He didn't seem very old. But he moved here. Several years ago, but
little did he know he was about to go on the Gordon Keith show.
Right,
I did feel bad because when we got out of the car, his body language was noticeably different than it was when we got in.
he was so very beaten down.
Yeah, he was just kind of like deflated.
Yeah,
being reminded of all the trauma he's been through.
Yes,
whereas he was really positive towards the beginning of the ride, and then towards the end of the ride, he just got sullen and withdrawn.
And that is your goal, to deflate everybody.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
Nothing like being carpet bombed by Gordon's questions.
I did say that to him. I said, sorry for carpet bombing you with questions. I know you've had enough carpet bombing in your life.
God, terrible.
And,
So don't take cabs with Gordo unless it's driverless and he doesn't have anybody to interview.
I had a real peaceful trip out here. Didn't fly with Gordo, didn't take a cab with him, and took my blood pressure when I got to the hotel. Lowest it's been in 3 years. Great.